doesn't want to give away his old.
Okay. So, hey, Johnny. Okay. So, what's interesting about Parshat Vayetze is one of the, I think I've mentioned this before, one of the favorite sort of tools that modern literary scholars, the old school that arose is in Yeshiva Har Tzion and other places, but that's where I learned. One of the literary tools they like using is the chiasm. Right? Chiasm is just based on the Greek letter ki, which looks like an X. And sometimes you find in Tanakh that the structure is set up as an A, B, C, B, A structure. Right? And meaning just an X, right, where you have features that are at the beginning at the end, and then features that are parallel, and then they come to the center. And the point of a structure like that is to highlight usually what's in the middle, and also sometimes to highlight changes that have happened between the two sides of the X, right? Because sometimes you'll have direct parallels and sometimes you won't. Sometimes you'll have between, let's say, A and A prime, let's call it, you'll have development. Like they'll be parallel but with a clear development. One of the things I like about Parshat Vayetze is that you actually have a very large, huge chiasm that goes from the beginning of the Parsha to the end that really emphasizes the themes and the transitions that Yaakov goes through. So it really actually starts in Toldos and then ends in Vayishlach. But just to give, just to point out what's going on, if we go to the end of last week's Parsha, so we start with Yaakov running away from Esav towards Charan, right, towards the house of Lavan. And we end this week's Parsha and begin next week's Parsha by him going back to Eretz Yisrael, running away from Lavan towards Esav. Right? So if you think even just in terms of the basic story of his life, Parsha's told us beginning Vayetze, he's going in one direction, right? Not even literally, physically, he's going in one direction. And then on the other side, he's running away from the other person to Esav. So if we call that A, let's say feature A, right? What would be the next feature that we have? Rick Robkin, do you happen to know who has a key to the kitchen?
Oh, let's go find out.
Okay, thanks. So we have, if anyone would know who has the key. The second feature that you have in the parasha, let's call it B, is right after Yaakov runs away from Esav and towards Lavan, what is the first thing that he meets? He meets Malachim. Right, he Vayifka b'magom, he goes to sleep, and it's the scene where he sees the Malachim going up and down. Now, if you turn to the end of Parshat Vayetze, the beginning of Vayishlach, as he's just about to meet Esav, right, the first pasuk of Parshat Vayishlach is Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Arza Seir Sdei Adom, which either, according to Rashi, means actual angels, and even if it doesn't mean angels, literally, the fact that he sends Malachim and the Torah chooses to use the word Malachim draws attention to the fact that in the process of running away or running towards, right, he reaches Malachim. And then if we continue, the next thing that happens is that Yaakov reaches Charan and he meets Rachel and he decides he wants to marry Rachel and he enters into an agreement with Lavan and he gets deceived by Lavan. Which, if you think on what happens, what prompts him to run away on the other side is he gets tricked by Lavan yet again as he says to Lavan, you've tricked me regarding my Parnassa 20, Aseret Monim. You've kept tricking me. So he runs to Lavan and gets deceived, right? And then he runs away from Lavan on the heels of having been deceived for a continuous period of time because of Lavan with regards to his Parnassa. The truth is that at the end you actually have a double deception of sorts. You have a double parallel to the deception story, because if you think about the features of the deception story, there's actually two features. One is that Lavan deceives him, and the other feature is that deception leads to a switch of Leah and Rachel. At the end of the parasha, you have the deception of Lavan regarding his Parnassa, but you have a switch, not based on deception, but a switch between Rachel and Leah in the story of the Dudaim, where Reuven comes, gives the Dudaim to his mother, and Rachel says, give me some of the Dudaim, and Leah says, only if I can be with Yaakov. And then if the parallel isn't clear enough, when Leah goes out, right? Leah and Rachel agree, make this agreement, and then Leah goes out to Yaakov and says the magic words. She says, "You're going to be with me tonight." But what words does she use? Schor secharticha. I've rented you. Right? I rented you, which if you look at the beginning of the parasha, when Yaakov makes the deal with Lavan, right? He says as follows, Vayomer Lavan, hachi achi ata, vavatani chinam. Lavan first tells him, are you my you're my brother, but still, are you going to work for me for free? Hagidali, ma maskur techa. What is, right, that same word, schar, what is the payment? And what does he answer? Ulavan, shtei banot, shema gdola, leya, v'shema ktana, Rachel. Right, the answer to the question is, that my payment, my schar, is Rachel. On the flip side, right, so it's, my schar is Rachel, but he gets Leah. On the flip side, it's Leah switching with Rachel. Right, so if you think about the parsha, it is, as you go through the parsha, you have the running away from Esav towards Lavan, on the other side you have running away from Lavan towards Esav. You have the second feature being meeting of the Malachim, on the other side you have the sending of the Malachim. Then you have the deception of Lavan, which leads to the marriage of Leah, of his marriage to Leah and then Rachel. On the flip side, you have both deception by Lavan regarding Parnassa, and you have the switch of Leah and Rachel in that story. And if we actually were to follow it inside, you'll find that there even the parallels continue, basically detail for detail as we go in. But basically, if we wanted to look at the middle of the story, and the middle of the chiasm is his experience of being with Lavan. That 20 years of Lavan is that what's smack in the middle. The actual experience of being married to Leah and Rachel, and then Bilhah and Zilpah, and having the children. And that whole experience of living in Lavan's house is smack in the middle of the experience. So that's very nice literarily to note that there's this nice sort of chiasm. But what I find fascinating about this, and several people have pointed this out, is that here you don't have a pure chiasm. I mean, you do. But as I mentioned before, sometimes you have a pure chiasm, and sometimes you have a chiasm where A and A prime show not just parallels, but development. And what's fascinating is here, that's the type of chiasm you have. Because if you think about it, on the first, right, first we meet Yaakov running away from Esav towards Lavan. And on the flip side, we have Yaakov running away from Lavan and towards Esav. Except, let's think about the difference in the personality of Yaakov that's running away from Esav and the one who's running away from Lavan. The one who's running away from Lavan, from Esav to Lavan, is passive. He's going on his mother's instructions, right? And he is poor, he is weak, he's running away in the middle of the night, he's running for his life, right? The next time he runs away, he doesn't run away, he leaves, right, with an army, right, with a machaneh. And this time when he confronts Esav, he's not confronting him running away, he sends Malachim towards him. So, yes, he's running away, except this time he's not running away passively and scared. He's running towards with force, with an army, with being proactive rather than reactionary. If you look at feature 2, the meeting of the Malachim, the same thing is true. On the first time, he sees the Malachim in a dream, and he sees them but doesn't engage with them. He sees them going up and down a ladder, but he doesn't engage with them. He says, oh, I realize that this is the Makom of God, right? This is the Shar HaShamayim, but he doesn't actually engage the Malachim. He just sees them. As opposed to the beginning of Vayishlach, this time it is at the end of Vayetze, it's Vayakov halach l'darko, Vayithkeu bo malachei Elohim, he meets the angels, Vayomer Yaakov kashera am machane Elohim zeh, Vayikrashim makom ahu machanayim, he calls the place of God just like he did last time, but his reaction is Vayishlach Yaakov malachim, this time he's in control. He's not just meeting them, he is engaging them, he's commanding them. And even if you think about the his interactions with Lavan, right? In the beginning, he is deceived by Lavan. On the end, he responds to his deceit by Lavan, right? But this time, it's not passively, right? What do you do to me? It's, I left because you've been doing this for years, right? And God is protecting me from you. and ends up winning against Lavan and forcing Lavan into a treaty. Right? He's not just giving up. The first time he meets Lavan, Lavan says, well, that's what we do, right? We marry the older daughter off first and then the younger daughter. On the other one, he's accusing Lavan. He's standing up for himself and he's saying, no, I am, right? You deceived me, so I left and God protected me. And now I'm going to enter into this with an equal because I've managed to survive this and I'm going to make a treaty with you. So what you see is not just parallels, but you actually see developments. I'll add one more. On the first end of it, right? I skipped this point before, but when he's actually at the Makom Ahu, when he is at that place, so he's forging, he forges a relationship. He makes a deal with God, right? If you make me wealthy, then I'll give you Maaser. Right? If you look at the flip, his relationship with God has also changed. Right here, he needs to make deals with God. Right, he's sort of, I'm running away. I'll give you Maaser if you make me wealthy. If you look at the end of the parsha, right here, again, he's making a deal of sort. Right, but this time he is making a deal with Lavan in the name of God. He's building a matzevah again in the name of God, but this time with Lavan. But he's declaring, right? There he said, if you will be with me. And what's he declaring at the end? God has been with me, right? He turns to Lavan and says, the reason I can make this matzevah and I can make a deal is because God has been with me for 20 years. You tried to deceive me, but failed because God, the God of my fathers, has saved me. Right? So before he was making a deal with God, hoping God would be with him through the time at Lavan. Now he's making a deal with Lavan, declaring that God has in fact been with him. And before he'd said, if God is with me and brings me wealth, I'll give Maaser. This time he says, God has made me wealthy. Right? God has actually in fact fulfilled it, and that's how he starts Vayishlach, right? When he turns to Esav, he sends it to him, and Esav said, what is this? He said, this is what God has given me. Right? So you find a development between the A and A prime, B and B prime, C and C prime, between the first half of the chiasm and the second half. But then if we take it one step further, the question that you always have to ask when you notice a chiasm like that, right, where it's not just parallel, but there's development between the two legs of the chiasm, is okay, well, what changed? Right? There was development with Yaakov. Right? There's a development in his relationship with Esav, a development in his relationship with Lavan, a development with his relationship with God, right? A development with his relationship with Leah and Rachel. Right? He was deceived into marrying them last time. This time, his wives are taking initiative, and yes, he's being traded, so to speak, but he knows what's happening. Right? He's no longer being deceived. It's a upfront switch of Leah and Rachel. So as we noted, well, what's the middle of the chiasm? The middle of the chiasm is his experience in Charan, in Beis Lavan, in the house of Lavan, which suggests that he was actually sent to Charan to become this type of person. Because if you think of what it takes to be the Av of a nation, to forge a nation, if we ask ourselves, do we want an Av, or could someone be capable of being an Av if... What do we know of him in the beginning of the Parsha? He runs away from his enemies. He gets deceived by everybody, right? He doesn't know how to stand up for himself. He's not confident yet in his relationship with God, right? That's not the recipe for a successful Av, the successful father of a nation. So how do you train someone to build a nation, put him through adversity, put him in Beis Lavan and watch him succeed. See if it works. Right? Make him stand on his own 2 feet. Right? Put him in the house of Lavan. Train him what it means to respond to someone like Lavan. If he can live through that experience, he can, as Rashi says, right? I can, in Lavan Garti, Vitariyak Mitzvah Shamarti, I can learn to be an Oved Hashem. Even in the house of Lavan, he can be an Av. And that's what happens. He goes through 20 years in Lavan's house, and over the course of that, he learns how to deal with Lavan, he learns how to be a father, he learns how to be a husband, he builds a nation, he builds a family, he builds wealth, he builds a nation, and he comes out And you see why God sent him to Haran in the first place. He sent him to Haran so that he could overcome adversity and be the Yaakov who, instead of running away from Esav, confronts Esav. Instead of hoping that God is with him, can be confident that God is with him. Instead of being deceived in his marriage, can be upfront in his marriage about what's going on. Instead of giving in to Lavan, can declare to Lavan, I've beat you at your own game. And what that suggests is that he was sent to Haran not just to run away from Esav, but because he needed to go through that experience of living Bebez Lavan in order to develop himself, so he could emerge at the end of the parsha, the beginning of next week's parsha, as Yaakov. Or the Makeh B'Patish, the proof to the whole theory is what happens right after this whole scene, right at the end of the chiasm, right? If we are right that this is meant to highlight the transformation of Yaakov, what happens when the chiasm is over? He's now met Esav. What's the next thing? Well, actually, what's the thing that happens actually before he meets Esav, but as he confronts him? What? Exactly. He fights the Malach, right? And the Malach renames him Yisrael, ki Sarita, right? Im Elokim v'Adam v'Tuchal. Now I can name you Yisrael because you know how to overcome God and man. I mean, that's actually the name. The name reflects the transformation. And if you think, if you want to extend the chiasm one more, what was actually the thing that happened right before? Right before he ran away from Yaakov?
Brachos.
Right, the stealing of the brachos. And how did that story end?
Fine for him, not so good for Esav.
Yeah, but what did Esav actually say? Esav actually summarizes it.
He wants his dad to die.
No, before that, right? What does Yaakov, what does Esav say? What prompts his anger? How does he summarize the story? He turns to Yitzchak and says, is that why he's called Yaakov? Vayakveni zepamayim? Esav names him, so to speak, and says, you're Yaakov because you can only, right, get things through deceit. But on the flip side, the Malach names him and says, no, you don't need deceit because you can fight and win. Ki sarita im Elokim v'Adam v'Tuchal. So he gets a renaming on both ends and he transforms, if we want to put it that way, from Yaakov to Yisrael. So the chiasm emphasizes that this story was actually a story of how Yaakov becomes the passive individual of Vayakveni Zev HaMayim to Ki sarita Elokim v'Adam v'Tuchal of Yisrael. And I think that sometimes when you notice these meta patterns, right, it really highlights the emphasis of the parsha. And I'll just end with one last point. Last year, I think I also gave Vayetze parsha and Kogel.
Also intended,
right?
Probably.
But what I noted last year, or maybe I said this, maybe it was I had told out, was that in each generation of the Avot, you have an Avram. Right, you have somebody who's defined by his ability to stand up for adversity and leave comfortable situations and be the kol olam kulo be'ever achad v'hu ba'ever hasheni. Now Avram literally does it. He leaves lech lecha and Meir fell asleep. Right, and he leaves.
No comment on this drash.
Rivka does the same thing. Rivka is Avram in generation two. She leaves the house of Avram. Right, she's asked, "Do you want to stay in your father's house for 10 more months?" And she says, "No, I'm going to go to the house of Avram." She, in many ways, and she's known for chesed, right? You can draw the parallels. But Yaakov, right? Yaakov and Esav are both born in Eretz Yisrael to a good family. There aren't multiple wives. So the question becomes, well, how is the third generation going to be Yaakov? It'd be Avram. The answer is that the Torah actually artificially creates an Avram situation. And Yaakov has to be sent back to where Avram's come from and forced to leave. Because every generation needs at least one person who has that power of being active. There was no natural person in the generation of Yaakov and Esav to do it. But because that's necessary for nation building, Yaakov has to artificially be chased out of his home, end up in Avram's homeland, and leave again. So the story really is the question of how does Yaakov become the passive person to become Yisrael, to really become Avram, so that he can be the father of the nation. So that is, I think, what we notice from the chiasm. And good Shabbos. Sorry there was no kugel, but...